This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook for about another month, and YouTube. Well, everyone, as you can tell, I am not in 100% health. I was COVID positive yesterday, so I am not feeling the greatest, but we're going to power through. Coach Dan and I talked, and he was like, "Do you want to do it? Are you feeling okay? Are you sure?" And I was like, "It's the playoffs. I got to do it." So joining me as always to talk all about it, that was right on cue, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How are you?
I don't think you could have done that on purpose. That was good timing, buddy. All right, I'm going to carry the show, but I'm going to be Ovechkin during these playoffs and try. Well, not necessarily these, but I'm going to be Ovechkin during some of the lean years of the playoffs. I'm going to carry the show tonight for you, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that. I got to say, like, last week I came on, I said this team, I expect this team to get one win. I expect the Panthers to go 5-1. I didn't really see the Caps doing much just because the last couple years have been a little rough and they've done 5-1 series the last 2 years. But I got to say, this is the best looking team I've seen since the Cup year. I mean, right now, with the series tied the way it is, I do have flashbacks of the year after the Cup, that Carolina series. You know, it's a little worrisome that these Panthers are coming back the way they did in the last game. But I overall, if that puck is 1 inch to the right from Garnet Hathaway, we're talking about the Caps leading this series. I mean, 1 inch, that's all it was. The Caps are right there on the doorstep, but right now, it's tied. It's a best of three at this point. But overall, I've been very impressed with what the Caps have done.
I mean, I think if you look at how they were allegedly playing before the start of the playoffs, and you looked at how the sort of experts out there were anticipating how this Caps team was going to do. I mean, everyone had them, not everyone, but, you know, most of the bigger name commentators had them going out in five, you know, if not being swept. And they've held their own. Not only have they held their own, but they've taken it to Florida in this regard. I mean, take away a bad period in game two, take away a unfortunate goalie performance in game two, and take away some unfortunate offensive opportunities that they let get past them in game four, this series is hypothetically could have been over at this point and for the good guys. So they're playing better than I think anybody expected. I think they've taken it to Florida, not just in the regards of being a good team or a strong team or one that's just willing to, you know, fight with the other team that, you know, President's Trophy, especially the best team in the league, at least points wise. Personally, I think it's Colorado right now, but that's besides the point. But they've played their game and they've taken it to them. And to an extent, Florida is the Capitals when they first started getting into the playoffs in sort of the young gun era. And the Caps are that veteran team that's like, yeah, you can try and run around. We're just going to completely keep you in your own end. We're going to make it real hard for you to get anywhere, playing physical, playing tough hockey, lots of forechecking, solid defense, high pressure up top. And they've pushed Florida back. I mean, with the exception of giving away a ton of shots in game four, they've, to an extent, dominated Florida at times during these games. And like you said, if it wasn't for a couple of inches or a little bit of, you know, not harder work, but more offensive work, maybe the best way to put it, from Garnet Hathaway, if it wasn't for the empty net miss when they were up 2-1, and if it wasn't for Johansson missing on a breakaway, and there probably was another opportunity not to just pick on Marcus Johansson, who has played well recently. He's played really well during these playoffs, I feel like. You know, this team's up 3-1 in the series right now. And the reality is, and it comes down to the playoffs, is that in sports in general, but if you don't take advantage of the opportunities that you have, you're not going to win.
Yeah, I that's definitely something that I completely agree with you about this team has played really well. I mean, TJ Oshie, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, they both look solid. This is the playoff koozie that we know and love from 2018. We're seeing that again. We do need to see more offense. That Marcus Johansson shot, I mean, that could have put him away in that last game. It really could have. It's unfortunate that it didn't. So the offense has been cooking. What did I keep seeing yesterday? Was it 16 shots on net? Was that a stat for our offense? 16 shots on net for game four? I'm sorry.
Well, what I'm seeing right now is somebody is playing with a bubble wand or something outside, because there are bubbles flying past my house right now. There's more bubbles going past my house than the number of shots that Caps had last night. Yeah, it was. I have to look up the exact number, but it was not in any way an acceptable number of shots in terms of a team that wants to go ahead and get a win. I mean, they got, I was going to say outshot, but that's repetitive. But no, they got outplayed, or not outplayed. They got outshot definitely in that game, and they should have. If you look at just those numbers, Florida should have come away with a bigger win. But the fact is, you know, a lot of shots were from the outside. They weren't getting a lot of great opportunities. Samsonov's also been playing really well since he came in for Vanacek. And, sometimes this is a game of inches. And it's an opportunity to take a commanding lead. And the Caps still have that, a little bit of trouble with being able to kind of end the game. And make sure that you're the one that's coming away with the win at the end. Because you've done every little thing you have to do. And if you don't take advantage of your opportunities to score, then you're not going to get a win in the end.
Yeah, we got to give it up to Samsonov. He has come in. He has been playing lights out. There was that first goal in the game, game four. That one was, he'd probably want that one back. But overall,
it was bouncing around. I feel like the goal in game three, I think he'd want back. But I also kind of wonder if that one helped him settle in a little bit. And he was like, all right, I got this now. Like, you got your one. That's fine. Because Samsonov, since he's got Vanacek game two,
he got rattled.
Yeah, that was not great.
No, and he got
rattled.
What we
saw from Samsonov, I mean, you and I have been talking for weeks now in terms of, like, this offseason.
It's the whole season. We've been talking about this the whole season.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, like, especially these last few weeks, you've been talking about how this team needs to go out in the offseason and find a goalie. Like, this is not a team that has aspirations of winning the Cup. Can't do this. But with the way Samsonov's been playing, now you're looking at it going, okay, all right, this kid's got something. Maybe we still need to go out and find a goalie, but necessarily it isn't like we don't need to go out and find a guy in his, late 20s or early 30s that can be here for 5-6 years while we look for the next guy. Maybe you're getting a little bit of an older goalie. You're signing him to a 1 or 2 year deal, and he and Samsonov are trading off. And then, while Samsonov continues to grow, I mean, I know he's what, like 25, 26, something at this point. Like, he's not like a young guy by any means, but he's someone that is inconsistent. But what we've seen so far in these playoffs is that he's playing exceptionally well. And that's what this team needs from their goaltender. That's what any team needs. He's 25. That's what any team needs from their goalie in the playoffs. Look at Bobrovsky. With the opportunities that the Caps have had, they could easily have swept them by now. But Bobrovsky is making some phenomenal saves. Like, dude is on his game for the moment. I mean, he got blown out in game three, but he's played really well throughout this series. And
we've seen Bob a lot. I mean, he's a former Blue Jacket, so we know Bob very well. So that's to be expected from Bobrovsky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what you expect. He's a veteran goaltender. He's been around, he's been in the league for quite a while. But you're going to get that at this point from any goalie, theoretically, in the playoffs, where there's a reason that the team made it to the playoffs. There's a reason they were one of the best 8 teams in their conference. It's because they have a good team, and they likely have a good goaltender. And right now, the Capitals are getting what they need from their goaltender in Ilya Samsonov. That he's playing good hockey, he's controlling the pucks, he's not giving up a ton of rebounds, he's not getting in his own head, he's just going out and playing the game and focusing on the things that he can do, which is all they really need from him. I don't know if he can steal a game or steal a series, but if the Caps can keep up with their swarming defense, if they can keep up with a high-pressure forecheck, he doesn't have to steal the series. He just has to play well enough for them to win the series. And the offense, with the exception of last night, has done well enough to give them that opportunity. And, today it's just kind of a weird – not today. Last night was just a game where It was a game of inches where there's a couple of situations. You can go back and you can look at four or five instances where it's, you know what, if that had gone the other way, if we had done this differently or this little bit differently. If, I mean, was it Florida had three goals. Weren't two of them ricochets or bounces off? Like, Samsonov was in position and happened to redirect off somewhere else, and he wasn't, you know, it's hard to make that quick of a change and be able to then make the stop. So
What do you think of that last goal? Do you think that was goalie interference?
I have to see it again. So here's what happened on mine, by the way. So I'm watching it, but I have a TV that doesn't have a cable box, so I'm using the NBC Sports app. And as it's going, it's probably about 45 seconds before the goal, maybe a minute. But it's for some reason, it started replaying the same couple seconds.
Oh, yeah, it did that to me, too, on Comcast. I had to go to the TBS feed because the NBC Sports one was so messed up.
Well, you're in Baltimore. I don't think I get the TBS feed.
Oh, really?
Because maybe that's
you
not right.
You don't get TBS?
Maybe. No. I get TBS. I actually haven't looked because I prefer to listen to our guys.
Well, yeah.
But I'm wondering, now I have to go look at, like, during Game 5 to see, because I think it might be blacked out because of the local market.
I don't think so.
Because you're up in Baltimore, I don't know if that counts.
Maybe not. It counts. The McDonald's way. Thing, you get free McNuggets up here, too.
No. Well, that's the important thing.
Yes.
Get them McNuggets. Now I kind of want McDonald's for lunch tomorrow. Anyways, I need to see it again to really get, like, a better understanding of the play. So the dude, is he pushed into the goal? So let's see. He's coming in. Argument could be had that he's trying to come across. His body's leaning to the right. Eller's there. Eller prevents him from being able to go across. But Eller doesn't prevent him from getting the heck out of the way. He's in the blue paint. Yes, that's goaltender interference to me. And if the situation was reversed where the Caps had scored that goal, I'm pretty confident that they're like, nope, no goal. Goaltender interference. Illegal. Can't do that.
They're like, this series has been good. We won another game. We won a game six.
No, I don't. Get it over with. I don't need that. I'm on the frame of mind. I think that's goaltender interference. I think it's a tough call either way. I'm not sitting here being like, oh, yeah, duh. Like, clearly. I think that's definitely a tough call. I think the fact that Eller is kind of there to an extent causes him to go, but I think he's got time to get out of the way. I think he's in Samsonov's crease, and I think right then and there is the reason that, yes, to me, that's goaltender interference. But I could see the call going the other way. I just don't like it. Not because I'm a Caps fan, because I think, does that give players an opportunity? So if they're knocked into the crease, to kind of hang out there a little bit longer than they should have, which means then other calls are not going to go the way they should.
Now, do you think there's any question whatsoever that Samsonov is the goaltender for the next game?
Oh, he's 100% the goaltender for the next game.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that he's going to be the guy moving forward unless he has
been playing better.
A tumultuous meltdown.
Right? Like, they have to go back if he doesn't play well, but he's been playing well. There's no reason to take him out.
Yeah, I agree.
He's the number one right now because he's played like a number one goalie.
Now, speaking of guys being taken out, this team has been without Tom Wilson since game one, unfortunately.
I was wondering where you were going with that one.
Tom Wilson was out of the game after an awkward hit into the boards in game one. It's a lower body injury. It's supposedly a knee injury. He's traveling with the team, but my guess is that he's still... I would guess he would be out of this series, if not longer, if it's a serious knee injury. But this team, I feel like you can definitely see the impact Tom Wilson has on the game. And he's definitely missed out there on the ice. Like, I really do think that some of these games could go the other way if Tom Wilson was out there.
It's possible. It's certainly possible that with him on the ice, that they are... That some of these games, yeah, they could go the other way. Now, I'm curious what his injury is. He's traveling with the team, which I think is really good because, you know, at least they, like, oh, maybe we have an opportunity to actually get him in here. You know, I'm wondering, is it a groin injury? Is it a knee injury? Is it an ankle? Like, what's the issue? My guess is it's a groin injury, but I don't know what it is, obviously. And they don't really, you know, NHL teams are known at being really good at not telling you what's going on when there's injury, especially in the playoffs. So... I think the fact that he's traveling is a good thing for them because I think, you know, there's a good possibility he's going to make his way back and play a little bit. But I don't think him being out is the reason that it's a 2-2 series. I think this team has played well in his absence, and I think Anthony Mantha deserves a lot of credit.
Big time.
For just stepping up. Not only just in Wilson's absence, but because he was doing this before Wilson got hurt all 91 seconds beforehand. But someone lit a fire under his butt because Anthony Mantha, he's playing like a different dude.
He really is. I mean, he came in last year. He came in guns a-blazing, did great, and then he kind of cooled his jets a little bit. He came in, got hurt this season, missed a ton of time, and then he comes in and he's making an immediate impact on this team. I'm so impressed with Anthony Mantha. I've become more and more of a fan of him. And Brian McClellan, I mean, as sad as it was to see Jacob Varana leave, Anthony Mantha for Jacob Varana was a great trade. I mean, Anthony Mantha has really shown up here. He's really done a fantastic job with this team. I just love what he brings to the table. He's done great. And we should say, you know, with Tom Wilson out, that does mean that some of the young guys get in. And we've seen Connor McMichael get in Tom Wilson's absence. What have you thought of Connor McMichael's play in this series?
He's been okay.
I mean, he's a young guy. I think this is good long term for him because he's going to get the experience of playoff hockey. As long as he's with this team for a while, he's going to at least get some experience right now that he can take down the road.
Oh, 100%. Any opportunity that you have to play is going to give you an opportunity to get better. You know, whether it's an opportunity for whether you will get better, I should say, varies from player to player. And you know, as soon as you hit your ceiling, you're not going to get better at that point. But I think McMichael, I'd like to see more from him, if possible. You know, I'd like to see McMichael play, not necessarily more, but I want to see him be able to accomplish more because he's certainly getting an opportunity to prove himself. Because no matter what happens this season, he's going to be on the NHL roster next year, whether it's in DC or by some sort of freak thing or stupid decision they make, they trade him. So this is an opportunity for him to go, hey, you kept me up in the press box for, you know, a number of times this season. That was the wrong choice. I'm going to show you why it was wrong, and I'm going to come out and do really well. And I think that he needs to take advantage of this. I think there's a couple opportunities for him to do a little bit more this in the game the other night, and he didn't take advantage of it. And for me, that was a little disappointing because I really want him to take advantage of these opportunities.
Now, I got to say, I am absolutely shocked. Shocked that we get TJ Oshie for the rest of this series. There was that hit that led to the Kuznetsov goal in game 4. I thought the NHL was going to say that he was targeting the head, that he was going to miss the rest of the series and all this, that, whatever. No discipline is coming TJ Oshie's way. Thankfully, we'll have him. But I know Florida Panther fans can't be happy right now because I know, you know, Greg Wazinski and a couple other people on Twitter last night were very upset with that hit.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have every right to be upset with that hit. It certainly looks not great in terms of how he kind of like it. Once he's hit him, it looks like his elbow comes up, his shoulder comes up. I don't think it's fair to say that he's targeting. I don't think it's fair to necessarily even say that it's an illegal hit. It's so awkward because the camera angle is not great, but it's also like Oshie doesn't necessarily change his stride. The other dude kind of comes towards him.
Yeah.
So that's what I think makes it a little bit more of a tough call is that it's not like Oshie turns. It's not like he's necessarily like, oh, I'm going to hit that dude. Like he's coming back. He sees him. His arm looks in. So for me, it's a tough call. And maybe it's a conversation. It's a, hey, you need to be more aware of what you're doing. But I definitely don't think, I don't know. I mean, it's easy for me to say as a Caps fan that I don't think it's worth a suspension. And I feel like if that had happened the other way around, where Oshie had gotten leveled by Verhage or whatever that dude's name is, that I'm going, wait a minute, how come he's playing in the next game? You know? Or if Tom Wilson had done it, he would have been suspended for life.
Yeah.
So, in my mind, it's a bit of a borderline hit. I fully, understand why Florida Panther fans might be upset or other fans might be upset, but I don't know. It's the NHL so inconsistent, I'm not overly shocked that he didn't at least get like a phone call or a fine for it.
Well, I mean, he didn't even get a penalty. He didn't serve 2 minutes. The refs called everything during game four. I mean, just absolutely everything was called on that ice. So for them not to call that, that really does say something. And how do you suspend somebody as well for something that they didn't even get him 2 minutes in the box?
Wouldn't be the first time.
True. Very true. So looking forward, this is a best of three series. The Caps need to win the two out of three. What are some of the keys here for the Capitals to get away with the first quarterfinal round and to move on?
Continually have solid goaltending. That cannot change. Because if the goaltending goes, so does this team's chances of getting out of this round.
And keep Sammy, up. I got to say, when he was doing well, the fans were cheering for Sammy. He said it brought a tear to his eye because, I mean, he's just like everybody else. He's on social media. I'm sure he's looking up stuff, and there's podcasters saying that he should be let go, and there's people on Twitter telling him he's not any good and stuff like that. So for the fans to cheer him on and say you're earning your spot had to feel good for him. But I just want to make sure they were really chanting for Sammy and not Samantha Pell, who got that cinnamon bun fried chicken sandwich that night as well.
I cannot understand why anyone would intentionally eat that.
Apparently, the line was at least 40 to 50 deep. That's what John Walton said.
What is wrong with you people? That thing looks disgusting. Not disgusting. It just doesn't look very... It's too... There's conflicting textures, conflicting flavors. Like, No. No, thank you. I don't need this. When I go to a Caps game, I want a hot dog, and I used to get a soda, but now I want a hot dog, I want a lemonade or water, and that's it. I don't need none of this I'll take a burger, maybe, but, you know... I don't want to be too greasy.
Give me some popcorn. Give me a pretzel with some mustard. That's my go-to.
There you go. That'll work. But no, I think that sandwichy thing is it's too freaking weird, man.
Yeah. All right, so keys to winning this series. Good goaltending. Sammy's got to bring his A game.
Top-level goaltending. I don't care who it is, one of them. I mean, Samsonov works out because he's a year younger. He's a little more expensive from a salary cap perspective, but whatever. And if he can take and be the number one guy and run with it, you know, then that makes their life a little bit easier. At least McClellan's. You just wish you had done it earlier in the season. And then I think you need to continue the swarming defense with that higher pressure forecheck. And then I think the last one is capitalize on the opportunities that your high pressure forecheck presents for you. You know, Hathaway making a mess of things in front of the goal gives him the opportunity to potentially just tuck that one in early. That changes the game completely. Like, we are talking about, even they could still have lost that game, but we are having a conversation that's very different than the one you and I are having right now, if that goal goes in.
Yeah.
Got to take advantage of the opportunities that you get in the playoffs, because you're not going to get a lot of them.
Now, I think this team can get it done. I am so happy to be wrong that they already have two wins in this series, not the one that I predicted. Judging from what I've seen, I definitely think that they can put the Florida Panthers away, but I would be lying if I didn't say I do have a little bit of worry like I did in 2019 when Ovechkin beat up that little kid from the Carolina Hurricanes game that lit a fire underneath the Hurricanes' butts, and they played lights out the rest of that series. If the Panthers come out flying this next game because of the way that they answered back last game, you know, Caps are in some trouble. So what I think they got to do is they got to come out early. They got to play tough early. They got to shut down these Panther lines. The Panthers were getting frazzled very easily the last couple games, but the Caps just kept giving them opportunities to come back. So you need to they need to come in fast. They need to be able to play a full 60 minutes, and they got to take the lead, and they got to keep the lead to keep these Florida Panthers down. I think the Florida Panthers are definitely in their own heads. I think that they were President's Trophies winners. They had the regular season streak, and I think everyone told them this was going to be a cakewalk, and the Caps are making sure this is not a cakewalk for the Panthers. Like, if they are going to win this series, they're going to have to earn it. The Caps are going to make them earn this one. They are not rolling over at this point.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I mean, I think the Caps are taking it to them, and that's what they needed to do. As the lower seed, you, to an extent, have nothing to lose.
And think about this. They've been the eighth seed since February. So they've been able to look at some Florida Panthers tape and study this team for a very long time.
That's a good point. And I mean, I don't know if that necessarily is the reason that they're playing well or playing better at the moment. I think they're just there. They understand how to play in the playoffs where things, it's not run. Well, unless you're Colorado, it's not run and gun necessarily, but that's working well for those guys out there. Didn't Burakovsky like rip a hole in the net or something?
Did he? I didn't see that.
I think I saw that headline today.
Oh, geez.
But the fact is the Caps know how to play in the playoffs now. It's what got them the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. And so that's fun to say. So, so for them, you know, this isn't something new versus Florida. It's a bit different and they have to learn how to play in the playoffs. So, you know, obviously we're going to see what happens. You'd like to see the Caps have, you know, a 3-1 series lead as they probably should have had after that game last night, but that's not what is the case. And now it's a brand new series and it's a best of three. So they got to go out. The nice thing is that they're a good team on the road. And if they, you know, if they have to win 2 out of 3, 2 of those 3 are on the road. So they certainly
that's
have an opportunity
great point.
To do something. Now that changes in the playoffs. It doesn't necessarily mean because they were good on the road before that they're going to be good on the road now, but outside of one bad period in game two, they've done pretty well in Florida. So
they're going to be better on the road now. That's what I think.
Certainly a possibility. So we have to wait and see.
So what else is going on in Caps world?
Well, let's see. What else do we have? Oh, last little bit is that I don't know if you've noticed how many people are getting fined, and we're going to talk about that when we go around the NHL. But Yevgeny Kuznetsov got fined $5,000 for high-sticking Florida's Noel Aciari. Aciari, however you say his name. So, whoops.
Yeah, don't do that, Kuzi. We need you, buddy. You've been playing really well. We really need you in this series.
Now, please continue to be allowed to play.
Yes, yes. Don't be dumb.
Don't be Tom Wilson. No, Tom, please
don't be young Tom Wilson.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Don't be young Tom Wilson. So, yeah, no, I mean, I think the Caps are in a good spot. You know, it'd be nice if they could just close out a series for once, but didn't happen. And, you know, momentum kind of swings back to Florida a bit. But I also kind of wonder if Florida, well, you know what? That momentum, I'm going to put it that way. The momentum can go away very quickly by the Caps scoring early. So if they go into game five and they get the first goal, and if they can get it relatively early, if you're a you know, player on the Florida Panthers, you got to be going like, oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, set the tone.
They got an early goal again, you know? So, like, yeah, like you just said, you got to set the tone for, when is it, Wednesday night. Go out there, swarm them, high-pressure forecheck, make it difficult, you know, have them keep the puck along. You know, if they have it in the offensive zone, which they struggled to do at the beginning of that game, have them keeping it to the outside. Don't let them get in close. You know, make sure Samsonov can see the puck. And, you know, they've got certainly put themselves in a good spot to win this series.
All right. Well, that's your keys to the game. Best of three series. Next up, Caps heading down to Florida. Coach Dan, is that it for what's going on in Caps world?
Yeah, buddy.
All right, that's it. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking about the Hershey Bears, and it's bad news. Coach Dan, tell us what's going on down on the farm.
Spoiler alert, Brandon. Let's talk about the Hershey Bears as their season came to an end, losing in 3 games to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Baby Pens. They were down 3-0 with little time left in the third, and they scored 2 goals with the goalie pulled to push the game to overtime. But unfortunately, they fell 4-3 in OT, and their season has come to an end. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Well, unfortunate for the Hershey Bears. It was just a best-of-three series for them, and they couldn't get it done against those pesky Baby Pens. But there's always next year, Hershey, and hopefully I'll get to a game at that point next year. So, go Bears. Hey, Stingrays, too. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. It really sucks I can't do my normal and beyond there.
Here, you say around the NHL, and I'll say and beyond.
Okay. That's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL.
And beyond!
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL.
Oh, I forgot I was supposed to do it again. Well, I thought you were just saying, like, it's your normal spiel, and I wait until the end, and then I go in. I like how you're like, dude, come on.
Coach Dan already told us, lots of people getting fined, NHL making lots of money. Coach Dan, catch us all up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
We'll talk about the fines in a minute because there are a lot of them. But first, let's start with some I thought was pretty shocking news as the Islanders fired head coach Barry Trotz. I can't imagine he's going to be out of work for too long, but that shocked the hockey world in terms of him being booted out. You know, I feel like he was hard done here. I don't know how you feel, but they started with a 13-game road trip because the rink wasn't ready yet. They had COVID-related issues early on where they had players in and out of the lineup. I kind of feel like Trotz got screwed over here.
He got fired after winning the Stanley Cup.
He didn't get fired. His contract was up. And there was – my understanding of the situation was his contract had like an automatic kick-in that he would get this much money if he won the cup, but he wanted where, you know, it should be compared to other coaches that have won the cup in the league. And I guess the caps are kind of tied to that original contract. And so he was like, well, then deuces. So I think he didn't get fired. I think he was like, I'm out. Like, this is messed up. So I'm not that I disagree with him. And, there's probably a way they could have found out a way to make it work. But they had Todd Reirden. And they thought he was going to be the next big thing in coaching. And
nope.
We saw that didn't work out. So, you know, hindsight's 2020. It's very easy for us to look back now and realize it was a mistake. But at the time, I mean, I think I even said at the time, I was like, you know what? It's fine. Reirden was going to be the next guy anyways. But...
What are the chances he comes back to DC?
I'd love it, even though, you know, if Laviolette, here's the thing, if Laviolette loses this series, at this point, the fact that they've gotten this far, I'm like, I mean, maybe I'm still in the camp of he needs to go. I talked to Ryan about this. He's like, no, he's not coming back.
Yeah, I doubt he is, but.
That would be great, but no one would see it coming because just like they thought Florida was going to win in five. No one is thinking he's coming back to DC.
I don't know. I don't want to say anything because there's some stuff that happens like this in season two of Friday Night Lights, but I'm definitely seeing like some NBC broadcast drama stuff going on with bringing Barry Trotz back to DC. I think it'd be...
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I'd be 100% for it. I don't know. I don't see it happen. I'd love it. I could see a way for it to happen, but I also don't know if he's going to be available by the time the Caps... are knocked out of this series or move on to the next series and whenever they're able to make a coaching change. I think he's already going to have a job. I have to imagine like the Winnipeg Jets have already called him. I have to imagine
Blackhawks.
Yeah. I don't know if he would go there though, but I think he's from Manitoba.
If you want to rebuild and you want to do it with somebody well-respected.
But I don't think he wants to rebuild. My guess is he wants to win now, and he's going to go somewhere that's got a good roster for him to win, which Winnipeg is a possibility.
Somebody on Twitter says, who is the ideal choice to be the next Isles head coach? And this guy wrote Barry Trotz.
Well, yeah. That doesn't make sense. Now, there's interestingly enough, there's no word on his assistants. Now, he's worked with Lane Lambert and Mitch Korn. They were both with him in D.C. No word as
Mitch
to whether
Korn.
They're being let go.
He completely I can't really say it with the way my nose is. He reinvigorated Braden Holtby's game. He completely reinvented Braden Holtby's game. Could you imagine him with these two young goaltenders here in DC?
Well, let's be nice to Scott Murray, the Caps goaltending coach. Like, it's not necessarily his fault. You know, some people just aren't able to. It's still Scott Murray, right? Why do I feel like I'm like questioning that? Yeah, Scott Murray. That's what I thought. So, let's not go crazy. But, you know, is there a reunion? Yeah, anything is possible. I just don't see it lining up that way, necessarily. But we'll see what happens. You know, there's potentially other changes that are going to come. But, yeah, my guess right now, someone was asking me to make a prediction in terms of where he's going to end up, I think Winnipeg is a really good opportunity for him.
I could see that.
So, we'll see what happens there. But He wasn't the only one that got fired, as Ottawa fired Pierre Maguire as the team's senior vice president of player development. So he lasted only a year.
That's wild.
With the Senators. Some breaking news, as the Montreal Canadiens have won the right to draft first in the upcoming 2022 NHL draft. Picking second will be the New Jersey Devils, followed by the Arizona Coyotes in third. Seattle Kraken will pick fourth. The Philadelphia Flyers are fifth. Columbus Blue Jackets are picking sixth. That pick originally belonged to the Chicago Blackhawks. Ottawa Senators are picking seventh, followed by the Detroit Red Wings in eighth. The Buffalo Sabres will be picking ninth. Anaheim Ducks picking 10th. San Jose Sharks picking 11th. The Columbus Blue Jackets getting their second pick of where their original pick was at number 12. The New York Islanders are picking 13th. The Winnipeg Jets, potentially Barry Trotz's new team, picking 14th. The Vancouver Canucks will be picking 15th, and the Buffalo Sabres getting their second pick in the top 16. This pick coming from the Vegas Golden Knights. They will be picking in the number 16th spot. Longtime NHL and San Jose Sharks star Patrick Marleau announced his retirement after a 23-year career. Marleau spent the last year away from the game waiting to see if an NHL team was going to give him a call. He broke Gordie Howe's all-time games played record last year and retires as the 23rd all-time in goals with 566 and 50th in points with 1,197. He is the Sharks' record holder for games played with 1,607, goals with 522, and points with 1,111. Toronto's Kyle Clifford was suspended for one game for boarding Tampa Bay's Ross Colton. And apparently, as we talked about, the playoffs make everyone misbehave, as everybody got fined. Actually, it was, I think more people got fined than didn't get fined. Here we go. Boston's Brad Marchand was fined $5,000 for slashing Carolina's Peter Kochetkov. Boston's Derek Forbort was fined $5,000 for high-sticking Carolina's Teuvo Teravainen. Minnesota's Jared Spurgeon was fined everybody got fined $5,000, apparently. Spurgeon got fined $5,000 for cross-checking St. Louis' Pavel Buchnevich. Tampa Bay's Pat Maroon was fined $2,250 for unsportsmanlike conduct during the game against Toronto. Tampa Bay's Corey Perry was fined $2,500 for unsportsmanlike conduct during the game against Toronto as well. And then Toronto's Wayne Simmonds was fined $2,250 for unsportsmanlike conduct during their game one against Tampa Bay. And then Dallas's Jamie Benn got fined $5,000 for high-sticking Calgary's Andrew Mangiapane? I don't know. Anyways, that happened back on May 7th, and then he decided he wasn't done, as he then got fined again on the 9th, another $5,000 for tripping Calgary's Trevor Lewis. Moving on to international hockey, where Team USA announced their roster for the upcoming International Ice Hockey Federation World Championship Tournament. Two former Caps in Nate Schmidt and Riley Barber will be representing the red, white, and blue in the tournament. Nate Schmidt is going to be the alternate captain on the team, which is pretty cool for him.
Yeah.
Now, the U.S. begins play on May 13th against Latvia at 9:15 a.m., and all U.S. games in the tournament will be aired live on the NHL Network.
Well, I got something to watch while I'm in quarantine.
There you go. And then due to Vladimir Putin being a D-bag with his unnecessary and uncalled for war against the Ukraine, the 2023 World Juniors Tournament was moved out of Russia. Hockey Canada, the Canadian Hockey League, or the CHL, and the IIHF, have awarded the tournament to the provinces of Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. The cities of Halifax and Moncton will be co-hosting the event from December 26, 2022 to January 5th, 2023, which is just 4 months after this year's World Juniors Tournament ends. That's the news from the past week in the NHL and beyond!
Now, normally, the World Juniors are years, you know, a year apart. But I found it interesting when we were writing our notes, like I wanted to put that in there. That's only 4 months after this year. Because remember, there was a COVID outbreak. Omicron was happening at the time. So they had to cancel the World Juniors and they moved it to August. There could be some bad blood between these young teams. If the tournament's in August and say, you know, it comes down to U.S.-Canada gold medal game and there's another shootout victory by the U.S., like as it normally happens, they've got 4 months to stew on that, and then they're going to be right back at it once again playing in Canada. So should be a pretty interesting tournament coming up at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to see, and sometimes you get some really good NHL players that ended up spending some time in these tournaments. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. So is that the show, Coach?
That's it, buddy.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff. About the playoffs, the players, how they're doing, when I get annoyed at something they've done. Although my family was on vacation last week, I was at home, so it's easier for me to tweet during the games. They're back now, and so it's a little bit harder when I have a toddler running around and a three-month-old screaming. But that's I'm also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club and how they are 3 points away from returning to the Champions League after a five-year hiatus.
You're going to take your kid to the football game at the football stadium in Baltimore this summer?
I am not going to that game because I work in the summer, very long hours. I work from about 7:15 until 7 at night. And I'm also not taking him because he'll be 3 years old and have no idea what is happening. What time is that game, by the way? I know you added me in that tweet. But as much as I would love to go, being an Arsenal fan, but you know what? I'd rather go see them play in London. I did once. It was awesome. I'd rather go see them play there because that's when you actually get to see the stars play. They usually play like the backups and the academy kids. So that's what we actually need in the NHL. We need academies, which I guess they kind of have in this area.
No.
So like where you have local kids come and play for your quote unquote academy, and it's all part of the same organization. They teach you how to play the way that they want to play. And then, you know, as they progress, if they get better and better, you're like, oh, they may have an actual shot. They continue staying in the academy. So I know you kind of have that with like little caps and other things, but it doesn't have quite the same feel to it. And it's pretty cool. So I don't know. That'd be kind of fun in the NHL. But anyways, on there occasionally on Twitter talking about the Bills, the Commanders, and other things going on in the wide world of sports. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out. Are we even going to be allowed to post when new shows are coming out soon? Is that how that's working?
Yeah, so we can still post that there's going to be new shows, but the ability to listen to shows, at least the audio, from an RSS feed is being taken away from Facebook. They started it 10 months ago, and you could listen to a full podcast right there on our page, and they went, you know what? Nobody's doing this, and then they decided to quit it. But
never mind.
I still post the audio with a video feed, and it's just like our logo. So I'm going to continually post that video up so people can still use it if they feel so inclined. But Facebook is not going to make it easy for us.
Did you also see on Facebook we got tagged with some Flyers podcast?
I did.
But it wasn't us? It
was not us.
So that was confusing for me. I'm sitting there, I forget when that was, but I was like, what's happening right now? Like, you're welcome, but we didn't talk about y'all. And I can't even find the other podcast. It has the same name as us, but I can't even find their page. So I'm very confused right now.
Yeah, we were the original What the Puck.
Come on now.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's finding us on Facebook at whatthepuckpod.com. But Brandon, I was talking about the Bills and the Commanders just a moment ago. If someone happens to be a fan of that team where Arsenal and Chelsea are going to be playing on, I think it's July 16th this summer. They happen to be a fan of the football team that plays in that stadium during the fall and early part of winter. Is there a podcast they should listen to?
That's right. You can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh talk all things Baltimore Ravens. We did a post-draft show recently, so we got to talk all about the guys that we picked up in the draft. This week we will be doing our live show where we discuss the NFL schedule release. Now, supposedly there's a leak. You'll find this interesting, Coach Dan. There's a leak.
Go on.
So, not sure if this is real. Maybe it's real. Maybe it's not. Thanksgiving night. Bills at Ravens. Josh Allen versus Lamar in Baltimore at 8:20
on NBC. I've been to Baltimore, and I've been in the box, and I watched the Ravens beat up the Bills, but to be fair, Josh Allen was his rookie year, very first game. He didn't play. Peterman played. That guy sucks. And the Ravens just – I took a picture. That's the game I took a picture of you and sent it to you because you were on the big screen.
And you said it's so much like a Marylander right there. You said Balmer.
Balmer.
You did not pronounce the T. So,
Balmer.
Who knows? Who knows what'll happen if that's an actual fact or not? Because people like to make stuff up all the time. But supposedly there might be a leak. Bills at Ravens, Thanksgiving night, Thursday, May 12th, 8 p.m. Me and my buddy Josh, we will be talking about who the Ravens will be up against in the NFL schedule. One of my favorite shows to do every single year because I love doing the live schedule release because it's always fun to see who you're up against and when and what night games are happening and that kind of stuff. But you can listen to my podcast, The Call, wherever you listen to this show. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify. And then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. Game 5 is on Wednesday, May 11th in Florida. That game is at 7:30. You can watch it locally here on NBC Sports Washington or on ESPN2. And then on Friday, the 13th, Jason Voorhees, he's coming. Friday, the 13th, Game 6 in D.C. That game is, they're not saying when yet. Or where. It's happening in D.C., but they're not saying where you can watch it yet.
Yeah, that's weird that it's, I mean, clearly it's going to be on local broadcasts. And my guess is 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So that's what we're guessing. And if a Game 7 is forced, that will be on Sunday the 15th. And that will be in Florida at some point during the day. And then we will be back next week. And hopefully I have a voice. And hopefully we are talking about the Caps moving on to the semifinals. So it's got to be 2. Caps need to win 2. Let's not give predictions. Mm-mm-mm. It's win 2 or go home. That's all they got to do. Is it going to be in 2 games or is it going to be in 3? The Caps need to win 2. Can they do it? Yes. I will say that. Yes, they can do it. They have the talent. They have the drive and they have the veteran leadership to point this team in the right direction. So let's hope this time next week we're talking about the next opponent and we'll figure out who that is at that point. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Coach, you do this for me. I can't do it.
Let's go Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.